Part 2. The following day was mild and sunny, ideal weather for the outdoor delivery planned by the Uches. After getting help covering the gift with a canvas, Herb tugged it with a rope to Yob Hall's front patio. Soon surrounded by Yob onlookers, he untied but didn't remove the canvas. He then stood close to the gift while waiting for the three to exit Yob Hall. When the doors to the building swung open, the crowd's chatter ceased. Flanked by the other two committee members, Bree's mother, Mai, led the trio to the end of the patio, a spot that put the three within a few feet of Herb. The three then straightened backs and lifted chins to flaunt the fact they were a full head taller than Herb. After folding arms, Mai took charge with a no-nonsense statement. "State your purpose so that everyone can return to their daily tasks," she ordered. Looking up at the three, Herb trembled as he stammered. "My name is Herb. I've come to offer a gift from all Uches," he explained before turning to grab and yank the canvas covering the gift. Dumbfounded by what appeared before them, the speechless crowd turned to the three. Mai was the first to take offense. "It's a strange, ugly orange whoop," she called out. The middle-aged father and member of the three on Mai's left grimaced as he too derided the gift. "It's the color of berries. No one would want to look at such a thing, never mind be seen in one." Gerb, a grandmother and the member of the three on Mai's right, spoke next. "It must be removed from sight as soon as possible." Rattled by their harsh remarks, Herb suddenly did something very unexpected, something that astonished everyone. He bolted to the driver's side of the orange whoop, leaped behind the steering stick, and swiftly strapped himself to the seat. Then, after whopping full speed toward a huge tree about 25 feet away, he ran the whoop into the tree's massive trunk. Stunned by the chilling crash, the Yob onlookers gave whoever was close by an eye-bulging gaze. Within seconds, though, something else unexpected became apparent. The crowd began noticing that, after absorbing the blow by bending inward, the spongy body of the whoop had returned to its original shape. Seeing the whoop had bounced back a few feet from the tree without a minor dent or even a faint scratch left all in awe. The onlookers were also astonished when they saw that the tree slammed into had only lost a bit of bark. Yet more remarkable, the crowd came to realize Herb was safe and sound. While strapping themselves into their wooden whoops had somewhat lessened the injuries of Yob riders, doing so had never prevented such a collision from causing at least some harm. Everyone knew that if Herb had been in a wooden whoop, a bruised body and broken bones would have surely resulted. To prove he was okay, Herb leaped from the orange wup and strolled toward the three. Fascinated by the incredible display, a yob fellow rushed toward the wup and tree. "It's amazing! No harm has come to the wup or its driver. The tree looks fine, too," he noted. An impressed yob mother stepped in front of Bree and Nib. "It's unbelievable. I could get used to the color. Is the wup actually made of uh-oh berries?" she asked. Grateful for the positive comment, Herb turned toward the mother. "The berries are one of the ingredients," he answered, before again addressing the three. "We made the body and wheels with molds. Even better, we can mold our discovery into head, neck, back, and limb protectors suited for all sorts of activities. Our discovery is light and flexible, yet strong," he added. A distrustful elder yob spoke up. "How many yims will one of your wups cost?" "There'll be no charge for more wups or other safety items," assured Herb. The elder yob softened his tone. "That's extremely generous of the Ooches." A young yob father holding a baby offered praise. "The Ooches have made a wonderful discovery." Things are going well, thought Herb, deciding it was time to share the hope of the Ooches. "The Ooches only seek to show we wish to improve the well-being of all, and in doing so, be seen as worthy fellow citizens." My narrowed eyes, brought hands to hips, and swaggered closer. "If your wup becomes popular, how will those who make and fix wups earn yims? And what will happen to those who earn yims by giving loans to buy wups? You haven't thought about the problems your gift will cause, have you?" she grilled. As Herb's shoulders sagged and head tipped, yobs in the crowd who had stepped forward slid backward. Slowly turning as she spoke, Mai scolded all who dared think the gift should be accepted. "Have any of you considered how this so-called gift would disrupt how we live our lives?" Herb thought of a solution. "Ooches will let the orbs make and sell our discovery," he offered. Mai remained harsh. "Again, wups that seldom, if ever, need to be repaired or replaced will keep many yobs from earning enough yims." The member of the three with the most at stake, Gerb, faced the crowd and also pounced. "As the largest employer in Yobville, I can assure everyone that many jobs will be lost if the Ooch's wup is allowed." Shile, the other member of the three, took his turn bellowing disapproval. "Because the Ooches refuse to use yims, they can't understand the need to earn them. They haven't tried to give us a useful gift. They've tried to give us a big problem. Their discovery threatens our way of life." Again glaring down at Herb, Mai summed up the three's outrage. "Ooches don't appreciate why striving to earn as many yims as possible must be continued. Therefore, further discussing why we must reject their WUP is a waste of time, she declared before turning toward the crowd. Everyone braced for a warning. Each of you should remember, continued Mai, that while not the only reason for using uh-oh berries, a lack of good-paying jobs is a major one. The three will seek punishment for anyone who tries to obstruct the right of yobs to earn yims. Devastated, Herb shook his drooping head. Turning toward the elder Ooch, Mai ended the gathering with a command for all to hear. After quickly taking your WUP from your valley, Herb, we expect you to destroy it. We also expect you to destroy your plans to make anything else out of your uh-oh berry concoction. With eyes watering, a shriveled Herb began cranking the WUP to ready it for the trip to the foothills. The three will never allow the Yobs to respect Ooches. Instead of a reason to celebrate, I'm bringing back a reason to despair, he softly muttered, dreading the task of sharing the awful outcome with the rest of the Ooches. Still gloating over their show of authority, the three had little concern the next day when no Ooch arrived in Yob Valley to gather food. Like other adult Yobs, they assumed the Ooches needed time to recover from having their gift turned down. Then, when no Ooches came to the valley a second day, the three, as well as many other adult Yobs, became uneasy. And when a third straight day passed without seeing an Ooch, the adult Yobs became very worried. Unsure how long the Ooches would continue to stay away, the three held an emergency meeting in Yob Hall. With each sitting around a large circular table, Mai got things rolling. Yobs can, if necessary, pick the fruit and nuts that grow on bushes and low-hanging limbs, but, as we all know, we'll soon need the high-up foods that require climbing done only by the ooze. An angry Shile pounded his fist on the table. The ooze eat the same food we do. That means they must be sneaking into your valley and climbing our trees while we're sleeping. Gerb feared what the future might hold. One frightful thing is certain. Less food means higher prices in my markets. That means my other businesses will earn less yims, which in turn means I'll need less workers. In short, what's happening is very bad for earning yims and very good for bringing about chaos, she warned. Panic will surely result in an increase in uh-oh berry abuse, alerted Shile. Flustered by what she was hearing, Mai stood, then began circling the table. Punishment is needed, she declared. With clenched fists pushing against the table, Shile briskly rose. You're right. The ooze need to be put in their place. Let's begin with Herb. Locking up that troublemaker for a stretch will scare the other ooze back to work. Yes, agreed Gerb. Herb's surely the instigator who's encouraged other ooze to bring about the chaos they believe will put them in charge. My didn't need to hear more. I'll have Herb picked up by the Yaba. After returning for the third time that day to the orchard where she'd seen Rue, Bree once again found there were no ooches in sight. Unable to tell Rue it was wrong of the Yobs to turn down the ooches' gift, Bree headed to Yob Hall to talk with her mother. Refusing the gift was mean, she told herself while hurrying along. Soon after entering Yob Hall, Bree found her mother in the room where the three met. Hi, greeted her mother as they sat on opposite sides of the room's large table. What's going on? She asked. Bree took a full breath, rested forearms on the table, then shared what was bothering her. I think the three didn't accept the Ooch's gift because doing so would make it harder to continue to feel okay about treating them badly. Not wanting others to overhear them, Mai stood, then closed the room's door. Hearing you say such a thing reminds me you're just a child, said the mother. Refusing the gift because of Yim's was wrong. The Yobs can't hurt Ooches without hurting themselves, declared Bree. The mother remained rigid. You're too young to realize why Yim's are important. Maybe knowing the Ooch who brought the gift is going to be locked up will help you grow up. Shaken by what she just heard, Bree sprang from her seat. Hearing you're putting Herb in jail makes me feel sick, loudly said Bree. The three can't let the food shortage worsen. More ooze will be punished if they don't return to work, coldly stated the mother. Punishing them will just make things worse, argued Bree. The mother folded arms and lifted chin. Order must be maintained. The ooze agreed to work for a portion of the food they gather. Breaking that agreement disrupts order and eventually creates chaos. If the three don't take action, Yobs will suffer, claimed the mother. What about the suffering of the Ooches? Questioned Bree. The Ooze are the cause of whatever misery they have. They're troublemakers, railed the mother, leaning forward as she slid palms over the table. Hearing her mother again name call brought a surprising outburst from Bree. Stop calling them Ooze! They're Ooches! She shouted, while again straightening her back and folding arms, the mother clenched teeth. Realizing she had disrespected her mother, Bree apologized. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have raised my voice. I should have kept bobbing. What's this talk of bobbing? It's something Nib told you after he'd eaten uh-oh berries, isn't it? Questioned the mother. It wasn't Nib, answered Bree. After taking a moment to think, the mother guessed correctly. You befriended the girl in the orchard you waved to, the one I told you not to befriend. She's the one who told you that bobbing foolishness, wasn't she? Bree tried to explain. The Ooches believe watching the barbers patiently bob is an important way to learn to be nice. That makes sense to me. It's having a strong Oochla and Yobla that should matter, she contended. That's nonsense. How much time did you spend with that girl? Questioned the mother. Long enough to know she and I believe no one can ever be over and done with learning to be nice, answered Bree. Rules are what make everyone behave properly, not talk of an Oochla and a Yobla, roared the mother. Bree didn't back down. Ways to practice being nice are needed, not rules and punishment. Too aggravated to remain seated, Bree's mother also stood. That Oo girl has turned you against your own kind. And yes, I'm calling that troublemaker an Oo. You'll soon be saying Yobs should waste half their morning watching barbers bob. Bree continued to take a stand. Yes, all Yobs should watch and learn from barbers. Believing such a suggestion was crazy, the mother cast more blame. That Oo girl has gotten you to eat uh-oh berries, hasn't she? She doesn't understand, thought Bree, slouching shoulders. I've never eaten uh-ohs, but because things are making less and less sense in Yob Valley, that will likely change, said a frustrated Bree. That sounds like a threat from someone who's not been nice, accused the mother, suggesting Bree should feel guilty. I know I haven't been nice, admitted Bree. I also know that if I continue to not be nice, I'll find liking myself harder and harder. Before long, I'll be gobbling uh-ohs. The mother replied with a firm order. I forbid you to see that Oo girl ever. Before the mother completed her demand, the sudden, frightening sound of screeching tires and mangling wood echoed through Yob Hall. As they yanked shoulders upward, Bree and her mother smothered ears with hands. They were, however, unable to prevent hearing the cries for help that followed. Shivering in fear, they hurried to the window where they saw the dreadful cause of their alarm. A tragic three-whop collision had left Yobs wailing in pain. A few days later, Nib trudged to the doorway of his sister's bedroom, where he spotted Bree at her desk. No one has seen an Ooch in 5 days. It looks like the Ooches have set out to find another valley, he noted. I'm glad the three never got to lock up Herb, but the Yob adults say there are no other valleys, replied Bree as she motioned for Nib to enter, then turned her chair to face him. Nib stepped into the room and sat on Bree's bed. The adults can be wrong. I choose to believe the Ooches will find another fertile valley and a better life. Tears began flowing from Bree. I choose to believe those things too, she whimpered. I've been thinking a lot about Herb saying Ooches want to be seen as worthy, shared Nib. Bree also had heard something that stuck in her mind. I've been thinking a lot about what an ooch girl, Rue, helped me better realize. To take good care of our mind, we have to keep reminding ourselves no one learns kindness and fairness once and for all, she pointed out. You're the one to convince every yob of that, Bree. Ready for some good news? Asked Nib. Very ready, answered Bree as she wiped tears from cheeks. When another picked on teen and I overheard some adults calling each other a coward because they were too scared to climb for food, she and I agreed to help each other learn to become tree climbers, shared Nib. That is good news, said Bree. Even better, continued Nib. After finding and trying out the scooty straps the ooches use when climbing, we made it halfway up a very tall tree, because we intend to stick to our pledge to stop eating uh-ohs. We believe we'll be picking high up food in a day or two. You'll do it, Nib. I believe in you, cheered on Bree. As many yobs thought, the ooches had left their caves in search of a homeland. At first, the ooches were excited about their quest. But after many days of meandering around rugged, rocky foothills, they were exhausted, hungry, and discouraged. Rather than imagining a paradise in which to settle, they were focused on finding the water needed to survive. We've gone at least 10 times farther from your valley than ever before, only to find piles and piles of rocks, said Rue's father. Not even a wilting twig has been spotted. We should have stayed put, said a famished mother who had been giving her share of food to her child. We have to try to return to your valley, creaked a weary fellow as everyone came to a stop. Aware that rations were low and despair was high, a disheartened Herb stared in the direction they'd been headed as the others found a place to sit. Then, while gazing at the lifeless landscape before him, something surprising caused his heart to race. He spotted an airborne bobber roll into a backward loop about 30 feet ahead. Did you see it? He excitedly called out as he thrust a hand straight ahead. See what? Asked Rue's father. New life surged within Herb. The bobber! There must be something to pollinate up ahead. We've got to keep going. Everyone stood, faced the same direction as Herb, and searched for a reason to be hopeful. There was, however, no sign of a bobber. Rue's father finally broke the silence. Before long, we'll all be seeing bobbers that aren't there. We should rest, then start back. Herb wasn't ready to give up. I know going back seems like the only reasonable thing to do, but please, everyone, stay here while I plot ahead a bit more. If I'm not back before the sun is overhead, start back without me. I'll catch up. After a long hush, Rue spoke up. Giving Herb the time he's asked for makes sense to me. Rue's father briefly discussed what had been proposed with others, then relayed agreement. "Okay, Herb, we'll do as you ask." As the others watched him wind around a foothill, then leave their sight, Herb kept a steady pace. Soon approaching an especially high hill, he decided that reaching its peak would allow him to see where the barber had gone. While clawing his way up the steep slope, a moment of gloom struck. "Maybe I did imagine the barber," he fretted. Then, after lurching to the top, Herb shook his fist in joy as he gazed down upon a breathtaking vast valley dotted with green trees, blue ponds, and beige homes. Realizing what he saw could belong to another group of yobs, he begged for good fortune out loud. "Please, please don't be another valley ruled by the yobs." Fixed on the vision below, Herb didn't notice the woman climbing toward him on his left. When she suddenly popped into view, he jerked backward, then stiffened, while staring at a stranger who appeared to be an Ooch. "Sorry if I startled you," said the woman as she came to a standstill about 15 feet from Herb. Herb gulped before introducing himself. "Hello, my name is Herb. I'm with a group of Ooches who've traveled far. The others are close by," he told her. "Welcome. My name is Tro. I enjoy climbing the foothills. I heard you mention yob rulers," cautiously noted the woman as she tugged the knee and elbow pads she wore over her hiking outfit. "Yes, we're from a valley ruled by the yobs," noted Herb. Deciding Herb could be trusted, Tro let herself enjoy the moment at hand. "You and your group are Ooch Valley's first visitors. Given you and I look and speak alike, it seems we likely share ancestors who split up and went separate ways." Looking toward the ground, Herb fidgeted as he searched for words. "We seek an opportunity to show our Oochla makes us worthy of being fellow citizens. Possibly there are empty foothill caves we might be allowed to occupy," he timidly mentioned. Tro grinned. "I only speak for myself, but hearing you note your group's Oochla is most encouraging. My guess is Ooch Valley Ooches will likely see your arrival as a chance to express their Oochla. As a result, they'll likely invite you to live among us in the valley," said Tro before becoming somber. "Are the yobs you mentioned the reason your group of Ooches made such a courageous journey?" she asked. "Yes, the yobs, who are much larger than Ooches, believe they're destined to rule over us," shared Herb. "Is there a chance the yobs have followed your group?" probed Tro with concern. "Given they're certain they possess the only valley with food and water, they've likely concluded we've perished on a desolate pile of rocks," answered Herb. Relieved, Tro lifted an arm to motion for Herb to lead the way to those traveling with him. "I'm looking forward to escorting all of you to Ooch Valley," she happily told him. As they began their descent, Herb decided it was best to be honest. Unfortunately, our struggle for worth has caused some among us to misuse uh-oh berries. Tro was understanding. Though uh-ohs grow here too, we've been able to limit their use. Who knows, though, what would have happened if we too had been treated as less than equal by a group like the Yobs. A grateful Herb relayed how fortunate he felt. If I hadn't seen a bobbing bobber a short while ago, I and the others would have turned back and likely met with doom. Do the Ooches in Ooch Valley study and honor the gentle bobbers? Not as much as we should. Maybe our newfound relatives will help us improve, suggested Tro. I'm sure it's the newcomers who need such help, meekly assured Herb. The humility I'm hearing tells me otherwise, said Tro, before slipping on a rock and bumping a knee. Ouch! I wish someone would invent padding worth wearing so that hikers like me didn't have to put up with pesky knee and elbow injuries. Herb smiled. The Ooches you're about to meet may be able to grant that modest wish, he replied, guessing the orange sponge-like discovery rejected by the Yobs would soon be appreciated. The end.